Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Creation Podcast. I am your host, Trey, and I have with me today podcast regular and ICR resident geologist, Dr. Tim Clary.
Oh, it's great being here again, Trey.
Yes. And we, of course, love having you on here. Normally, we talk about rocks or something like that. Today, we're going to talk about something a little different. Because you're not just a geologist, you do have a vested passion when it comes to dinosaurs.
That's correct? a good way to put it. Yeah, that's true. I did a lot of sort of self-study on dinosaurs. As a geologist, you normally take a paleontology class, but normally it's like the invertebrates, that's the little clams and seashells without backbones. Because that's what you see most commonly to help you tell which rock layer is which. And sometimes the fossils do help you sort things out. But a lot of geologists don't really get to study dinosaurs, but I had the chance when I taught at a college for many years to do kind of self-imposed internships where I went and dug for a week or 2 weeks here and there and really looked over the literature trying to put together a little lab book on dinosaurs. So I tried to look at both sides of the situation, like warm-blooded versus cold-blooded, and did the feathers or not feathers. And so I tried to, and I didn't tell the students, of course, what I really believed.
Right.
I just laid it out there and said, here's the evidence. What do you think? And that kind of thing. And that bothered them a bit because they're like, I want the answer. I'm like, well, there might not be an answer.
Yeah. You
know, maybe we don't know of these extinct animals.
What's exactly your conclusion? What they
were. So, yeah. Yeah. So I have strong feelings. Right. I think some of the evidence supports one way or the other, but it's very difficult to study an extinct animal, a whole kind of animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the dinosaurs are apparently extinct today. So it's hard to really know.
Except for Komodo dragons. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
It's okay.
They're a little different. But.
Yeah, a little different. Okay. So we are talking about dinosaurs, but we're not just talking about dinosaurs. We're talking about dinosaurs in relationship to birds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are not talking about feathers. We do have a podcast a number of episodes ago where we discuss feathers and whether or not dinosaurs had feathers. Mm-hmm. And so you can go watch that. We'll link it here. Today we're going to talk about brains.
Woo-hoo.
Okay. Evolutionists, of course, push this idea that dinosaurs over time evolved and became birds. One of the ways that they do this is by comparing bird brains with dinosaur brains, which is interesting because it's like, do we have an actual dinosaur brain? But particularly certain theropod brains like the T-Rex, which I guess they consider to be some of the most bird-like or that type of dinosaur. So what is this all about? Why is this happening? Why is this comparison happening?
Well, unfortunately, they don't really compare the data too much.
Okay.
They kind of put it in, their ideas get put forth in the movies like in Jurassic Park and Jurassic World, all that series. A lot of that was done by Jack Horner. And you're getting, he was kind of the dinosaur advisor in those movies, at least for a while. I'm not sure if he did the last few. But nonetheless, those are his views that he was putting out there. So you see things changing, even in some of the movies, whether they could see people or smell people or vice versa, how fast they could run. Some of that was in flux because they're always having to go back and do better, computer models and estimate could they run, et cetera. Well, one of the things they always portray is, of course, that dinosaurs are very smart and they could open doors and they could do things that, birds do, like ravens can unlock things and figure things out. And they're very, very smart way to get into things. And dinosaurs, they make them that way in the movies because they do want to push the idea that dinosaurs evolved into birds. And that birds and dinosaurs are the same thing. That's the latest thing.
A chicken is just a T-Rex. I see it on, like, I say that in jest. I do see it online. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, people will just like offhandedly be like, the chicken is the descendant of the dinosaur,
And they've been trying for, over a decade now, trying to take a chicken egg and tweak its DNA enough to make it into a dinosaur. And that's really been unsuccessful.
Good, because we see what happens in Jurassic Park.
So I don't think we have to worry about
right.
a chicken hatching a dinosaur or anything like that.
Right.
I think they were completely different animals, completely different kinds, even different creation days.
Mm-hmm.
Birds are created on day 5. All land animals like dinosaurs would be day 6. And so they're completely different. And God specifies that in his creation account in the Bible.
So birds came first.
Right. Birds actually are around first.
Okay.
And so you have birds and then dinosaurs. And ironically, you know, I think maybe God did it that way for the reason that he knew that scientists in this day and age would say that dinosaurs evolved into birds. And we do see birds in the rock record way down here below, in layers below, well below, where the most supposedly bird-like dinosaurs are.
Really?
Okay. Most of those are, you know, dinosaurs are found in three layers, or the flood layers, as they were buried, and their zone was kind of flooded by, you know, the waves that were coming in. You have Triassic. That's where you see dinosaurs showing up for the first time in the rocks, and then you see them, the Jurassic layers above that, and the Cretaceous layers above that, and then they're kind of gone. That's the so-called dinosaur extinction.
Okay.
But the most bird-like ones are supposedly in the Cretaceous, the last of the dinosaurs. And then we see birds already in the Jurassic, in the middle layers. And so in their worldview, that's 40 to maybe 70 million years of time, you already have birds buried with dinosaurs, then you somehow, they evolved into birds that were already there. So it's kind of like having the grandchild before the grandparent.
Mm.
Yes. But then they kind of weasel through that, which I call weaseling because it's made up.
Right.
They actually will dash lines down and say, well, there was an ancestor to both somewhere down below. We just haven't found it.
Mm.
And so, again, that's not really science. You can't test something that's unknown and never has been found and probably never will be. It's okay to look, you know, but to base your interpretation on something that's not there, that's not science. And so the science supports that birds and dinosaurs were alive at the same time.
Okay. So I guess my question is, since we're talking about the brains, what is it potentially about dinosaur brains and bird brains that could, evolutionists could feasibly like latch onto of like, oh, this is evidence, you know?
Well, when you look at the actual brain endocasts, they're called, where you can find like the brain cavity kind of in the skull of the dinosaurs.
Because we don't have an actual dinosaur brain.
No, there's no even preserved tissue. I don't think we found any preserved tissues, which is possible they may find some. But the actual size of it, they have to estimate from the skull, and they do these endocasts. They do CT scans, and they can kind of get a pretty good idea of the size of the brain, at least the maximum size. And I did this as an endocast that I purchased a copy of, 158 cc's it came out to be. Now, to put that in relation to a human brain, which is about, I think the human brain's average 1,200 cc's or so, they're about 1,300. Neanderthals are even a little bit bigger than that. And so you're looking at cubic centimeters.
Right.
And so you look 158, you're looking at about 10 times smaller for a full-size, you know, 40-foot-long T-Rex compared to yours and my brain. Okay. At about a tenth of the size of our brain.
It's a pretty small brain.
And birds, you know, same size bird to same size dinosaur, small dinosaur to small birds, you know, in relation to that, they'd be about 10 times smaller. And the shape of the brain, to me, the shape of that, when they see the endocast, the shape of the brain is a long, kind of a skinny thing that looks just like alligator and crocodile brains.
Mm.
And so the brain isn't shaped like a bird's brain. A bird brain is compact, has a huge rounded part for processing data. And, you know, birds can pick out food from a pile of rocks and debris. They can pick out exactly what they want to eat, whereas alligators just bite and ask questions later, so to speak, you know, and see what it tasted like. Yeah. If it's something they like the taste of, then they'll swallow it. But maybe they could smell better, but I don't think they could process information that they can't. You know, alligators aren't known for opening doors like they show in Jurassic Park.
Right.
You know, they can't figure all that out. They're not built to think that way. God built them to, you know, look for their food. And originally, of course, it would have been just vegetation in the original created world, but then it became distorted after Adam and Eve sinned and the fall happened, then animals, dinosaurs started eating each other. And but they still can't think like birds do. And their brain is completely different shape. And that's really not talked about much. They make them out to be smart.
Right.
You know, they do all these things in the movies. They talk about how smart they were, and they were like birds, and they are birds, but yet their brain is completely shaped different, a completely different shape.
We have no idea how they act.
And that brain, and that brain shape matches up with alligators and crocodiles. And so it's most likely that they behave like alligators and crocodiles. And most likely, that implies they're also probably cold-blooded like alligators and crocodiles. Mm-hmm. There's other things on that. Well, that's another whole podcast in itself.
We'll get to that eventually.
I think dinosaurs are mostly cold-blooded, and that's one of the reasons why is the brain shape is just like alligators and crocodiles. Nothing like a bird's brain shape at all. And because birds have to do more things, they're warm-blooded. They have to, you know, identify their food. They have to be able to pick it out a little bit more carefully than
dude. They can even make enemies. Like you hear the stories of like ravens who are like, oh, that person's been mean to me. I will cause problems for them.
And the chickens, actually, if you ever raise chickens, they pick on, usually one chicken gets picked on. they'll go around. They're not very nice at times. So you don't want to, I don't like people. Some people have a pet chicken. I'm like, I don't know about that. No.
Well, not for you.
But they're actually, they have a bigger brain for their body size, just like you and I, about 10 times bigger than a dinosaur's brain. And I actually plotted up that dinosaur T-Rex endocast that I had. I displaced it in water, and it came up with about 158 cc's. That's the maximum size it could be. It's filled the whole cavity. So it's probably a little bit smaller than that. Mm. When you plot that up on a graph of body size to brain size, it falls really close to the reptile line.
Okay.
Really close to the reptile line. The bird line is, again, an order of magnitude or 10 times greater.
Okay.
And so you get two different graphs. And I actually wrote an ICR article on that. You can look up, I think it's called Tyrannosaurus Rex Was No Bird Brain. And so you can search that at our website. But it actually talks about where I actually did the math and plotted it up and plotted the size. And again, you never see the conventional paleontologists doing that. They don't talk about the size of the dinosaur brains. They just make them out to be smart because they want them to be. But the real data supports the brains were smaller and shaped like alligators and crocodiles, not like a bird at all.
Okay. So this is not a question that I was ever intending to ask, but it now I think about it. Is the whole concept of like the feathers in dinosaurs, has that stemmed after the fact of this whole bird thing, or was this kind of before? Are the feathers also a part of this whole, we've got to make them look like birds?
Yes. No, I believe so. And, back in the 19th century, I think Huxley pushed the idea of, Darwin's so-called bulldog. He's the guy that started pushing that dinosaurs turned into birds. And everybody forgot about that for about the next 80 years till the 1960s. When they found Deinonychus, and they looked at the bones of Deinonychus, which is a kind of something like a very similar to a Velociraptor, but bigger. And it's actually what's portrayed in the movies as Velociraptor because it's much bigger. But that was found by John Ostrom, I think, of Yale in the early 60s.
We have an animatronic, one of those, in our Discovery Center.
That's right. You can come. Well, don't pet him, but you can come. He won't bite you.
He won't,
Because that's pre-fall.
Right.
So they would have eaten only vegetation. But nonetheless, he showed that, based on the body structure, that it was probably very agile and fast-moving. And that started the so-called dinosaur renaissance, where they went from being just these cold-blooded, sluggish animals shuffling around the swamp all the time to now more agile and fast-moving dinosaurs. But it doesn't really mean that they're warm-blooded, just that they're active. And even the bone studies that they've done, the bone histology, they slice bones and study the slivers of the bone. They show what looks like mammal bones almost in some of these dinosaurs because they were very active. Mm-hmm. That's all it shows. It doesn't show they're warm-blooded.
Gotcha.
And so you can, because they've done studies with modern-day reptiles, exercised, one set of them, exercised them a lot. The other ones just let them lay around like reptiles do, like iguanas. And the ones that they exercised had bones like mammals in some regards. And so there's a lot of similarities. So it really just means they're active. Doesn't really show warm-blooded or cold-blooded.
Okay.
So, but the feathers are a natural thing. Of course, you're turning something into a bird. You want to grow feathers somehow along the line.
They're just going
to
add that.
And so they, in the last 20, 30 years, they started finding these little hair-like structures coming off these imprints of these dinosaurs are buried so quickly. That looks like little hair-like structures coming off, and they call those proto-feathers because they're already in their mind. They've already, thought that dinosaurs had to evolve feathers, some scales somehow.
Right.
But other studies by other paleontologists, evolutionists have shown that those are, when you squish things like that, you just get collagen fibers coming off. So they're probably most likely collagen fibers and not proto-feathers after all. And they've actually shown in a study, I believe in 2017, that T-Rexes had scaly skin. They found lots of skin imprints of T-Rex. And so you still see, though, unfortunately,
and that's the one
to this
that's
day,
supposed to be,
yeah, to this day, you still see renditions in museums and in movies and stuff with T-Rex with feathers or something sticking off out of its head. But they've actually came to a pretty strong conclusion that T-Rex definitively did not have feathers.
Okay.
And so but all the other theropods did. That's kind of what the paper says.
He was special.
But it's, they've also found in China all these feathered animals as well that have real feathers, not just these, you know, hair-like structures. And that also is fed into their belief that dinosaurs evolved into birds, because they're identifying these birds that had bony tails, and they're calling them dinosaurs. Mm. So you got things like Microraptor, had weather, feathers on its back legs and front legs. Look, Archaeopteryx did. It had feathers on its back legs and front legs as well. It had a bony tail. Everybody pretty much agrees that's a bird, although some are trying to change that into a dinosaur because they're the same.
Right.
But really, that's all been pretty much shown to be a bird that flew like a pheasant, couldn't fly really well, according to the computer studies. And Microraptor, I think, was almost the same thing. And all these other birds you find in China, they're, you know, really feathered, but they're calling them dinosaurs.
But they're not.
But I think there's enough, you know, the anatomy of the back legs, particularly, like the late Dave Menton at AIG showed, that when you pull the back legs down and make them walk like a dinosaur, because dinosaurs and birds walk differently, that you pull the legs down, and then they'd be too front heavy. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't, you know, dinosaurs balance on their hips, birds balance on their knees, and the thighs are kind of in their body. And so they walk completely differently. That's also not talked about. So the brain shape of dinosaurs is not talked about. The brain size of dinosaurs, the actual numbers, are not talked about. And the back hips, where they walk on, you know, if it's a two-legged dinosaur turned into a two-legged bird, and you know, they walk completely differently.
Right.
All they talk about is the, oh, look, there's feathers. And the front arms, how the front arms were growing feathers to fly with or whatever, to catch animals or do what they were doing. They ignore half the animal.
All the other problems, yeah.
And so, to me, the biggest issue is that you've already got birds and dinosaurs in the same rock layers, yeah, even before the most bird-like dinosaurs come along. There are some, again, a few similarities. A lot of the theropods had hollow bones. You know, the basic body shape resembles maybe a bird, but there's so many things about them to tell them there's not a bird. That's the issue.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stop you for a second.
Okay.
We're going to do a random science question of the day.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm always trying to be ready.
You'll try to be ready.
I'll try to be ready.
If we, as in we, the human race, could bring back one type of dinosaur, which would you choose?
Stegosaurus.
Why?
Because I don't think they would eat me.
That's it? That's your blanket answer?
And they probably weren't too fast because they had big, long legs in the back, about twice as long as the front legs. You know, they could turn sideways and look really big because they like that fan shape to their body, and but they had very, very small teeth in the front, and they probably were very docile compared to a lot of dinosaurs.
Would you keep one as a pet?
I don't know if I have to have a big
yard.
Big fence.
Yeah, big fence.
Maybe it's like kind of like raising a bison or a buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to get out, they get out. So if you'd have to almost have a brick wall around them. Okay. But I think, you know, Stegosaurus would be pretty. They don't have big horns well, I guess they have the spikes on their tail they could do some damage with if you made them mad.
Yeah.
But I think some of these dinosaurs would be really cool just to see walking around. See if we got them right. You know, did we get the renditions of these right?
Mm. So you're going for the safe factor, not the cool factor.
Right. Well, you know, in his talks, I've heard him give, Jack Horner, because I dug on his crew 1 year for a week up in Montana, and he said, I'm glad they're extinct.
Yeah.
Because I want to walk around at night.
Yeah.
That was what he said. So I agree. You know, if these are fast-moving dinosaurs, although in a cooler climate, they wouldn't be as fast. So you got to keep in mind the pre-flood world was probably a global greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dinosaurs could always be active, even if they were cold-blooded, which I kind of think they were. And so they were always active. But today, you know, with cooler temperatures and stuff, they couldn't be as active maybe all the time, or if they had to stay near the equator where it was warmer pretty much all the time. And so that's one of the reasons I do believe they went extinct after the flood, after they got off the ark, because they just couldn't exist in a lot of the world, especially when the ice age came on right after for maybe 500, 600, 700 years after the flood. So that kind of squeezed them into, and also forced them to live pretty close in proximity with humans. And so a lot of humans were probably killing them off as well. You hear about these knights killing dragons. Those are probably small dinosaurs. And to get the really big dinosaurs that we see in the museums, those are probably hundreds and hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
And that goes against conventional, you know, evolutionary scientist wisdom as well. They think these dinosaurs grew fast and, you know, within 40 years, you know, there's none that even live that long. They argue, again, to try to use bone structure in that, but after a while, the bone structure doesn't leave your annual lines.
Right.
And so there's a point where you're just looking at a minimum age. So I do believe these big, huge sauropods, these big, huge T-Rexes we see, they're 40 foot long. The sauropods are 100 feet long. I think those animals were probably 500, 600, 700 years old.
Yeah.
And
killed in the flood.
Yeah, probably. You know, Dr. Jake Hebert's working on that right now. He's working on some studies of scaling of animals and size and longevity. And he's got some really interesting research that's going to be coming out in the future on that.
Yeah, and we'll have him on to talk about that. Okay.
He gets a little excited, though.
Yeah, he does.
Unlike me, I don't get as excited. But, Dr. Jake, he gets pretty excited about his research. And that's what's great about science is people get passionate about their science.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm passionate about my geology and passionate about dinosaurs. I just try to hold back a little bit.
Yeah, a little more reserved. All right, so let's chat about like the other kind of dinosaurs. So briefly, so we're looking at dinosaur brains. We know that they're that evolutionists were like, oh, the theropod style dinosaurs become birds. Do the brains of those theropod dinosaurs look different than the brains of these other dinosaurs?
I don't know exactly. That's a good question, or I have to admit I don't know. But most of the other dinosaurs, their brains were smaller.
Right.
I know that much.
So the theropods were the biggest?
You can plot theropods were the biggest.
Okay.
They had the biggest brains of all dinosaurs. And that's because I believe they had to go out and search for prey.
Okay.
And God knew that they would be eating each other, I think. And so he built in bigger brains in them, I think, you know, knowing that was going to happen, that Adam and Eve was going to sin, because he knows everything. And so I think they do have bigger brains because they have to go search for food more so than just finding it, you know, like just purely eating vegetation all the time. And so I think that
going to have the good sense that of reason, smell.
They had a better sense of smell. I think that's the olfactory lobe looks pretty long, just like on a crocodile alligator. And so they could smell probably better than you and I for sure.
Yeah.
There are definitely differences. Most of the dinosaurs had smaller brains to their body ratio than the theropods. And I think the raptors, the Velociraptor and Deinonychus, had a bigger brain to body ratio than even the T-Rex.
Okay.
But it still wasn't that big. It doesn't approach the bird size brain from what they can tell.
And so that's what we need to look at more than the actual size is the ratio to the body.
Because you're just scaling things up. And that's one of the things that Dr. Jake Hebert's working on is a scaling thing. And so I don't really see, they plot up on these graphs. You can plot them up on log paper like engineers love to do. You get a straight line. And you actually can do, you get a bird line and you get a dinosaur line. And they're about an order of magnitude below each other, size for size across the board. And that's kind of the way it is with warm-blooded animals versus the cold-blooded animals. And the dinosaurs always seem to fall in that less brainy size. But they were smart enough to do what they had to do.
Yeah.
They reproduced, they ate, and they ate their food that God provided for them through the vegetation. And even T-Rexes.
Yeah.
I think why they're finding distinctive layers in the rock record is because they were still living in the areas where their vegetation was. The vegetation might have varied by elevation slightly. And so certain dinosaurs ate certain foods. They stayed near that food source. And that's why they were buried all over the world at about the same level. And above that, you see the T-Rexes or you see the raptors. They're eating maybe different things.
Eating whatever.
And maybe, being the theropods with a little bit bigger brain, they might have had a better reaction to the disaster of the flood coming upon them as well.
They might have been a little more mobile. More quickly,
Might have been a little more mobile. But, some of the, the Stegosaurus always gets insulted as having the smallest brain for its body size. And it did have a very small brain to body size.
But it just had to stand there and eat food.
And they, there used to be the rumor of it did it had a brain in its back, but they found on some other animals that's probably just a fat storage spot. So it really didn't have a back brain and a front brain. So there's a lot of things really fascinating about dinosaurs that if you keep up on them, there's a lot of new discoveries. There's some good science, but unfortunately, it's all tainted with this evolution of making dinosaurs into birds now. I mean, they're really pushing that in the last 20 years. It's gotten really blatant.
Yeah.
And the movies now, the science is so bad. The last Jurassic World movie was so bad. We had a whole podcast on that.
Yeah, we went and watched that.
I was like, wow. He's a feathered dinosaur jumping in the ice, swimming under the water. It's like you're pushing the limits of...
It wasn't even a good movie.
Yeah, the storyline wasn't all that good.
Okay. Well, I think that this is something that's important as I don't want to say kids, but, you know, you're taught a certain thing in school. And I mean, you watch Jurassic Park or you're taught something and then something comes out later that it changes, but you don't necessarily get alerted of that change, right?
Right.
And so you grow up believing this thing all the time and you're like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, and unfortunately now kids are kind of being brainwashed with dinosaurs are birds and dinosaurs had feathers and all this kind of stuff. And you know, and some of my colleagues in the creation community are like, well, why couldn't God have made dinosaurs with feathers? And they actually will tell audiences that dinosaurs had feathers. But I think they're not looking carefully at all the data. You know, they're not looking at the back hips. They're not looking at, you know, is this a bird or is this a dinosaur? And even the one of the evolutionary bird paleontologists who studied these things, he says almost all those dinosaurs with feathers that they're calling dinosaurs with feathers are actually just birds.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're blurring the definition so much that nobody really knows the difference. And even, I think even some creationists are caught up in saying, well, these are dinosaurs and they did have feathers, but are they really dinosaurs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, other experts say they're birds. But, you know, even that particular fellow, he's being shouted down. You know, he's being treated like a creationist in some ways because he doesn't go along with the mainstream science. And so he's, in his books, he writes about how he feels persecuted because he doesn't believe what everybody else is supposed to believe, but he says the data doesn't support it. And, you know, he's a bird paleontologist.
Yeah.
He knows more about birds than the dinosaur paleontologists do.
Could the creationists who are saying, well, why can't birds have feathers, could that just be kind of like a capitulation, just like an area of, you know, we're compromising here?
Well, I don't know if they're, you know, I don't think they're maybe, I don't know.
You can't speak for them?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I wonder why they're going along with that. Is it just to fit in more with mainstream science? Because to me, I mean, I've tried to look at the data, and I tried to look at, you know, I read a lot of different things. And that's like when I tried to prepare my lab book for my students years ago when I was a college professor on dinosaurs. Just do an introductory dinosaur class, but I needed some sort of lab. I tried to look at both sides of the issue. If you get away from what's being shoved down everybody's throat, all you get is one view.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these guys are only reading that one view. They're not looking, is there an alternative explanation? Is there other people that are saying and critically analyzing this? So I don't know if they're not, I think they're just looking at the mainstream view and saying, well, okay, God created these things. He created some with feathers and some without.
Right.
They're not saying that dinosaurs evolved into birds, but I think, you know, it's kind of iffy. If you start putting feathers on them, then you're basically saying that dinosaurs are very bird-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the evidence really supports it. There's a lot of evidence that's never talked about by these few naysayers, even in the evolutionary community, that say dinosaurs were cold-blooded. The evidence supports that. The dinosaurs didn't have feathers. That those are actually birds that have feathers that you're looking at, you know, extinct birds with bony tails.
And their brains are completely still different.
But yeah, and they're not looking at the brains, the brain size. The brains are completely different, shaped and size. And okay. So the real dinosaurs had nothing like a bird brain.
Okay.
Real dinosaurs didn't have feathers, just like T-Rex didn't have feathers.
That's it. That's the definitive answer.
Well,
we got it from Dr.
Again,
Perry
himself. If there's more data that comes out and shows it, if you find a dinosaur, a true dinosaur, not something that's ambiguous.
Right.
And, you know, some people will say this and this and this. If you find something that's a true dinosaur, like a Stegosaurus, or if you find a, you know, and when they looked at T-Rex, they didn't find it. They found scaly skin. You can find scaly skin imprints of dinosaurs all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, if new data does come out, we'll reshoot this podcast.
That's right.
We'll have a follow-up.
We'll trash this one.
Yeah. No.
And we'll start over and say, Corey was wrong.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit it.
Yeah.
Today, I haven't seen anything definitive that tells me that this is a feathered dinosaur. What I see, and I agree more with Alan Fiducia, who's the evolutionary paleontologist, that these are feathered birds with bony tails, just like Archaeopteryx.
Okay. Well, any final thoughts before we draw this to a close?
Dinosaurs were not bird brains.
All right, there you go.
That's my final thought.
That's your final thought.
They were crocodile brains.
Crocodile brains. That's good. Okay. Well, thank you again so much for being here. And
it's always a pleasure, Trey. Yeah,
absolutely. You're fun to talk to. So. And thank you to all of our viewers and listeners. We appreciate you watching this video on Bird Brains. And of course, we delved into a little bit more of, you know, are dinosaurs the ancestors of birds? No, the answer is no. The Bible does not state as much. And so there's your answer. So we would appreciate it if you gave this video a like, if you shared it, if you subscribed. Share this with your friends and family who are huge dinosaur nuts. I'm sure they'll appreciate it, especially if they're not creationists. They'll really appreciate it. And also, if you want to get an episode of this podcast a week early, or if you want to receive creation.live 2 weeks early, you can become a member. We have 3 tiers of membership. They all offer different perks. You can join here on YouTube or on Patreon. And we would just appreciate the engagement in that way. If you have any questions or you want a topic to be covered on a later episode of this podcast, just leave a comment in the comments below, and we'll see what we can do about getting that question answered. So we'll see you next time on the Creation Podcast.